A museum is typically thought of as a location facility designed to present, educate, and, well, in some cases, even memorialize a specific era, event, or archival collection. You know, I think we all kind of understand that. However, our society is filled with those who choose to read into an idea what they want and typically object to. This overreach creates problems, delays, even emotional victims in some cases. Here to discuss one of these annoying instances, which involves objections to the inclusion of two beams that are in the shape of a cross. And that's sort of the crux of the argument in one of the many ways at the 9/11 Memorial. Talk about this as the senior counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Freedom, Eric Baxter. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show.
Let me give you the website for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. It is Beckett, B-E-C-K-E-T, fund.org. And give us the background on this case. It was heard this past Thursday, Eric, and it's basically, well, first, the atheists did not want the inclusion of the metal beam cross that was found a couple of days after the 9/11 attacks. And I think from, if I heard and understand correctly, from where they started to where they are now, they said, okay, if you're going to put that there, we want a plaque next to it saying atheists died here too.
That's right. The lawsuit was brought by the American Atheist Inc., arguing that displaying the cross would be a violation of the Establishment Clause. Initially, they asked for the cross to be completely removed from the museum. They realized that that's not realistic, and so halfway through the litigation, they started saying, well, we just want something of equal size and equal stature in the same place to represent atheists, you know, something like a big A for atheists.
Oh, God.
And then in court, their lawyer backed off from that and said, you know, we just want a plaque that says atheists died here also. I mean, the problem with that argument is this is not a memorial. There's a memorial above ground that, you know, is free to the public, and everybody who died at 9/11 is properly remembered at the memorial. The museum tells the story of 9/11 and is a collection of artifacts that came from the 9/11 recovery effort. So the Ground Zero cross, as you mentioned, was discovered a couple of days after 9/11. One of the rescue workers saw it standing upright in the rubble and saw it. You know, he took it personally as a sign of hope and religious comfort. And many people after that were inspired and strengthened as by the cross and used it as a place to gather and comfort one another, to worship, to receive religious consolation. And that became a major part of the story. So it's in the museum because it's part of the story, along with many other artifacts. I mean, there are, you know, steel workers made steel cutouts of, you know, the Manhattan skyline or the Twin Towers or Stars of David, different crosses. There are a lot of religious and secular artifacts from the Ground Zero recovery effort that are included with the cross in the museum. So it's telling the story, not promoting religion.
I think one of the things that disturbs or bothers people with a case like this is the atheists are basically saying, we want to profess our atheist beliefs, but for you who are Christian or Jewish, even Muslim, no, that bothers us. We need to stop that.
Yeah, and it's, especially in this context of a museum. I mean, museums aren't there to censor history or make it up. They tell history as it happened. And in fact, during the lawsuit, the museum said, hey, if there are artifacts that, you know, that represent atheists in some way that were part of the story, bring them to us and we'll include them. But there was nothing to be brought forward. And so the museum was not able to, you know, include those in. But there are lots of things in the museum that are completely secular in nature and in that sense, I guess, could be seen as representing the atheist view. But the museum is there to tell the historical story, not to make religious points.
Talking with Eric Baxter, who is with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, beckettfund.org on the web, and you were listening to Issues and Ideas. Is one of the arguments, too, that the atheists are saying that the museum is located on government land, and that's where they're crossing into some of the elements of their complaint, trying to incorporate the taxing and spending clause, the establishment clause, and trying to take a standing in an issue that your counter-argument is that they have no standing in.
Right, and the museum is privately operated. It's a private nonprofit organization. It will be funded going forward by admissions tickets. It is leased on government land, but, you know, religion is part of American life. You know, our national museums display religiously inspired art. Our national parks, you know, there are religious rock drawings in our national parks. Our founding documents and monuments throughout the country make reference to religion as part of our history. All of these things are part of our culture. They're part of our history. And you can't just go through and airbrush them out. I mean, if everybody could go into court just because they're offended, you know, would we allow people to go in and remove the Stars of David from the Holocaust Museum, or, you know, the religious art, or, you know, in the cloisters in New York, the museum there, there's, you know, the exhibit, the medieval exhibit has all kinds of religious items. You know, if we were to allow everybody to go into court to strike anything that they're offended of, soon we would have nothing in our museums.
And that was actually one of the questions the three-judge panel raised, what you just made about, you know, would you have to remove any, you know, a Star of David that someone in Auschwitz held close to them all through the torture they were going through, would you have to remove that from the Holocaust Museum under this argument that the atheists are making? Some cases, depending on where the museum is located, you just might have to.
Exactly. And that effort to try to, you know, remove religion from public life would itself be, you know, an attack on religion that is prohibited by the Establishment Clause. And the purpose of the Establishment Clause is to prohibit coercion or forcing people to fund churches. None of that is happening here. We're talking about just the manifestation of religion in public life because people are religious. And so there's no violation of the Establishment Clause. And courts really need to tighten up the doctrine so that people can't go into court to sue just because they have a personal offense against something.
The reason I brought up whether the museum is located on government land because, for example, in the beginning of this program, every week there's a disclaimer that Clear Channel Entertainment is not responsible for anything this idiot here says on the air and any of his guests, and that's a protection. And it's basically I'm leasing the airtime from a government entity technically, but they are separating themselves from anything that happens within this activity on this program. So I'd be curious to know if the lease is as finely defined as that, where the government, the lease says, yes, the government is supplying us with the land, but that's the period end of their sentence. From that point on, it's all about this private entity.
You know, I don't know what's in the terms of the lease, but take the National Art Gallery, for example. It's government-owned, it's government-operated, but no reasonable person would walk into that and see art hanging on the wall and think that just because there's some religious symbolism in the art, that the government is pushing that particular religion. I mean, everybody would know, well, that's the, you know, the artist's art, and the museum is displaying it because of the quality of the art, not because it's trying to promote religion. And similarly, if you walk into a historical museum and there are historical artifacts, and the cross will be labeled with an explanation of the role that it played in the Ground Zero recovery effort. It's not there in a chapel or set up so that people can come worship before it. No reasonable person would walk in and think that the cross, you know, that the government, by leasing land to the privately operated museum, was somehow trying to push, you know, Christianity or the cross or anything like that. It's clearly there as a historical artifact.
Wrapping up our time with Senior Counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, Eric Baxter, BeckettFund.org, on the web here on Issues and Ideas. We see these cases often. Michael Nudo, for example, he wanted In God We Trust taken off of the currency, and we saw, I believe it was Nudo as well, he wanted the Pledge of Allegiance under God because of that phrase in the pledge taken out of schools. As an attorney and just as a participant in these activities by the various atheist organizations, do you really think they really have a chance? They believe that they have a chance in court with the trial, or do they just bog down the court system and really waste everyone's time looking for some cheap and easy public publicity?
Well, there is a problem in that the Supreme Court has not clearly defined the proper role of the Establishment Clause. An example I frequently give is that a few years ago, the Supreme Court on the same day issued two opinions, one addressing a Ten Commandments monument in Texas at a courthouse, one addressing a Ten Commandments plaque in a courthouse in Kentucky. And the court held that one of them was okay because it had been there for a long time and it was, you know, had historical significance. And in the other case, the court held that it was not okay because some of the background and how the Ten Commandments plaque was put into the courthouse. So the court has created some confusion, and the lower courts have encouraged the confusion by allowing people to come into court just because they're offended, not because they've actually been injured or discriminated against. I mean, it would be different if the museum had intentionally refused other symbols of other religious organizations, but that's not the case. And so courts really need to tighten. Unfortunately, you know, some courts, there is a risk that some courts will get some of these cases wrong. But this particular case with the museum is really, really far afield. I mean, it's a privately operated museum. It's clearly a historical artifact. So I think there's very little chance in this particular case that the court will get it wrong.
And judging by some of the questions that the judges on the panel asked, it sounds like they pretty much are in agreement with the points of the argument that you brought up through your brief and your filing, which you can see more and learn more and download actual PDF copy of the brief and learn more about the details at BeckettFund.org. We've been joined this morning by the senior counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. And by the way, the decision will be several months before it comes down, but you got a feeling it'll be on the side of logic and common sense. We've been joined this morning by the senior counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, Eric Baxter. Eric, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thanks, Chris. My pleasure.